Hello on YouTube. Let me adjust my hat. YouTube audience,
that is a nice looking hat.
It is. Although my puppy got to it the other day and gnawed the brim here.
You know,
I had to do some sewing.
You know, worn hats sell for more than non-worn hats. You know? So that's got
this. Looks really worn.
My hat is in a place where it looks better than on my head. So
yeah, you don't wear hats very well.
I'm a bad hat wearer. I admit it.
Know your strengths. Get a 100% hockey big bucket hat. I think that would look great on you.
I might get a 100% like a plantation owner's hat, a big hat like that.
Go with that.
With 100% on the band or something.
I like the bucket hat. You could be Gilligan. No. I could be the skipper. Nobody knows what we're talking about.
I was on a show in Vancouver that you were on last week with Donnie and Dolly, and they're good guys. Yeah. And Rick Dollowell said, "Hey, there's some pretty women on that show. Ginger, you know, Marianne, Mrs. Howell." And we said, "Mrs. Howell? Seriously?" Anyway.
I was bugging him because he was late getting me on. I'm like, what's going on? Because we were like 5 minutes late. And he's like, he blamed the producer.
What else is new? You always do.
blame the producer. We've got Doug McLean coming up. Big news out of Toronto. The change in general manager there with Brad Tre Living being let go. Keith Pelly had a press conference yesterday. A lot to unpack in that. And Doug's the perfect guy to dive in because he'll give you a little bit of information and a whole lot of salty opinion.
There's a method to the madness of Doug McLean on a Wednesday on this podcast.
Hey, Edmonton, by the way, is 5-2 since Leon Draisaitl went down. They've won 4 in a row.
Tell you what, I'm going to name 4 guys playing much better. Nurse and Wallman on the back end, Savoy, and Podkolzin as forwards. And all of a sudden, when you talk about the Edmonton Oilers, you're talking about simple defensive game and depth. And that's something that they have been searching for all season long, something they had last year at times and got them all the way to the Stanley Cup final. And it seems to be working right now. They have a big test. They got Vegas this weekend, though. That'll be the big test.
When Leon went down, I said, this is a great opportunity for Edmonton. And people were looking at me like I was having some chemical issues. Being able to be forced to find structure is far different than being asked to find structure and lean into structure. And they have done a wonderful job with it.
Well, and this in many ways, the injury is more severe, but the last 14 or 15 games of last season, the team went through a similar struggle with either Connor being injured or Leon being injured.
And what did that lead to? Another trip
exactly.
To the
and what it led to was there was a lot more belief and confidence amongst the regular players on the team that they could actually contribute. And it made a huge difference in the first and second round of the playoffs.
I'm on record. I didn't think Winnipeg would be able to get into the playoffs because there's too many teams to jump over. I thought they might be able to get close, but what are the chances that all the teams would fall off the same time? That's what's happened. They timed the market perfectly.
They've gone from 7 games under 500 to 2 games over 500 and gone from being down 11 points to being down by 1 point. It's truly amazing. They almost screwed it up last night in Chicago, though.
But everybody's gone cold in front of them.
Terribly bad. The only issue for the Jets is, unlike Nashville and LA, who play twice in the next 5 or 6 days, they don't really play any of those teams that are ahead of them. And so that's a challenge. Yeah, they play St. Louis and San Jose, but they're behind them. They need to find a way and hope that there are no 3-point games between the Kings and the Predators, and that, you know, one wins one and one wins the other as the Jets keep on winning. They still have to rely on other people being futile before you can talk about the Jets being in the playoffs.
But now they're close enough that you're in it.
Right. Oh, no, they're
interested to see the reaction in the play now. that you're in it.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. It's a good point. And now, and give some credit to guys other than Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele. Gabe Vilardi has played well. Adam Lowry, Cole Perfetti has played well.
Yeah, Perfetti.
And they're playing much closer to what they were as the President's Trophy winner last year, Darren, than they did when they only won two games this December.
So is it the 100% hockey bump? Because Chevy was not overjoyed mood the other night when we had him on. And since then,
we're not one of those things, people that take credit for other people's issues. We don't call people friends of the show. We don't do that. We don't do that. That's for the viewer.
Where's the employment?
Where?
Manual.
It's you see those books back there? It's about the third one on the left. Okay.
I don't think there is one. You just tell me when I violate one.
Well, you know, if I hear, hey, coming on now, Darren Millard, friend of the show. Oh, stop it.
Well, you wouldn't listen if I was on a show?
Anybody that said friends of the show tells me they haven't thought of anything nice or be creative to say. They just,
Tim and Sid used to do it all the time. We were actually friends. Tim and Sid did it all the time, and I was friends with them.
Think of something creative to say. You know, everybody has these crutch words, you know, buzzwords, active stick.
Sounds like the press conference that I watched yesterday.
Listen, I'll tell you right now, the data that I have about this podcast.
Facts now mean something else.
Well, data are facts. Data is facts. Was data plural or a singular? That's a good one. I have to check that.
The one that I just can't
get. Data is facts.
Evidence-based decisions. That's what we need more of. Evidence-based decisions.
And the definition of that is just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. Well,
Doug McLean's going to come up in a second. Is he our pal? Is he our friend?
No, he's Doug McLean.
He's my neighbor.
Okay. All I know is that it's going to be fun.
My neighbor, Doug McLean, coming up on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
And he's not a friend of the show.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here.
Here we go.
Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to 4 games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
He's wound up. He's ready to go. I can just tell looking at him that this thing could be really, really good. Darren Millard, John Shannon, it's 100% Hockey, the podcast, with our good friend, former NHL president, general manager, and coach Doug McLean. The floor is yours.
Well, I want to ask about Vegas. I mean, you're on top of things there. The coaching change there.
Yeah.
I mean,
you never used to ask me questions. You used to get mad when I talked.
I talked to George McPhee a week ago. He didn't tell me anything about it, so I thought I'd go to the second.
So they didn't offer you a job?
I couldn't get Lawless on the phone, so I thought I'd talk to his assistant, Millard.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts.
So
if I just keel over at some point, it's because of that shot right there. Oh, it just took a while to kill me. you know how to strike at the heart.
Anyway. So
okay, what's your question?
I was just caught off guard. I mean, I know they've been struggling. About
what? Which side? What were you? Because making a coaching change after the trade deadline with a playoff team is unusual. Last 10 games, like that's different. But a lot of people, I think, were more surprised with the replacement than they were with the actual coaching change. Where were you on that?
I was both. I think when a guy wins a Stanley Cup, you know, you sort of expect to have a little bit more longevity, I guess I would say that. And I guess I would say you would expect to see a little more longevity when the number one, or not number, maybe not number one problem, but one problem has definitely been their goaltending. Definitely been their goaltending. It has been subpar for a team that's expected to contend. So I sort of sympathize with a coach that loses his job when goaltending is really subpar. And the rest of the team has not been, they have not played well. And I know that part falls on the coach. The goaltending for me doesn't fall on the coach.
Yeah, they've just been in such a flat spot coming out of the Olympics. It dated back a little bit prior to the Olympic break, but out of the Olympics, they had the just a nasty road trip. And then you hope that they would find their footing. And it's been one step forward, two steps back, two steps forward, one step back. They haven't been able to find any rhythm. And they just feel that this team is much better than they're performing, and all the data says they're close with the analytics.
Don't go to data yet. It's too early for data.
All the data says they're close. So if you get a coaching bump now, that takes you into the playoffs. That creates an opportunity. And if you get back to that, then you are the Stanley Cup contender they thought that they had at the start of the year.
But hold on. Do you believe in coaches bumps, Doug? You've been on both sides of this. Do you think that that's a reality?
Yeah, I think you get a coaching bump, especially if the guy that you took over for is got some major issues in the dressing room. And I have no doubt that, and I don't know this because I'm not inside the room, I would say there's major issues inside the dressing room with respect to coaching player relationships.
And they can go sour, can't they?
And they can go sour. And I think a prime example is the Columbus Blue Jackets. Dean Evason, I don't know Dean Evason other than to say hello to him. I suspect he's a pretty good coach, but there was definitely an issue in that dressing room between the players and coaching. And two things happened there is Columbus make a coaching change. And like, if you looked at their schedule for the next month after Dean Evason was fired, it was as easy a schedule. Number one, yes, there was six straight at home against Calgary's and Vancouver's and those teams. They got a little momentum going and it's carried through and they may make the playoffs, whereas they're one of the worst teams in the league at the time of the coaching change. So definitely a bonus coaching bump there.
That's why Dean was sour about the timing of it, because he saw that schedule and he thought, we're fine. We'll be able to make some traction.
And I don't blame him. And he won the previous game before he was fired in overtime, which sort of set it up in Utah, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. That set it up to go home to have a pretty good run. But
and for the Vegas side, it gives credence to why you bring somebody else in instead of promoting from within to give that different voice for the coach's opportunity.
And to Doug's point, Vegas's schedule for the remaining regular season, Calgary, yeah, Edmonton, Vancouver, Seattle, Colorado, Winnipeg, Seattle. Yes. It's a pretty good schedule.
Two playoff teams in there.
It's a pretty good schedule for a coach to rebuild some confidence between the guy that's coaching and the guys that are playing.
And Vegas brings in a hammer as well. Like they didn't go the other end of this thing. So the players still have to be accountable. They're not getting the quote players coach, even though we know John Tortorella has a very personal side and is misconstrued or misinterpreted publicly. They're still bringing in a very strong voice, very strong presence.
And how's his playoff record been the last 10 years?
Playoff record? I'd have to look. The Columbus Blue Jackets, most success they've ever had was under Torch, right?
Yep. Yeah, but they went to the second round.
Yeah.
They got to the second round.
So so this is an opportunity for him, too, to write a new history there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we've buried the lead, guys. I mean, most of the people that are listening to the podcast today are saying, what does Doug think about what's going on in Toronto?
Can Come Doug work now. A computer? Doug, can you? How are you with your computer technology, your IT?
I'm a data scientist. Just put my diploma up. Data scientist.
Is that what you teach at that sports school that you're teaching at on Wednesday nights?
Oh, I love analytics. I mean, how can you not love it? It's as every scout in the NHL tells me, every scout tells me that when there's a decision made in a boardroom now with respect to players, it is, okay, that's great. I'll let everybody give your opinion. What do the numbers say? What do the numbers say?
But I don't mind that.
I like it. I like it. I don't think there's anything, wrong with it. As a matter of fact, you know, I've spent a lot of time not studying analytics, but talking to, when I wrote Draft Day, I spent a lot of time talking to people with respect to analytics. I talked to almost, I would say, 10 heads of analytics of teams to get a better feel for analytics. I talked to the people at SportLogic to get a feel for it. It's become an important part of the whole process. I talked to a general manager in the NHL who said, you know, the work they do to make a trade, the work they do to sign a free agent is the very same as we did, but you add the numbers to it. Mm-hmm. You add the numbers to it. And, you know, then you add video scouting to it, which we did, and you add analytics to it, and the decision is made. So I think it's excellent. I think it's good information, as long as it doesn't take over an organization. That's my only thing. There has to be more to it than that. And nobody can tell me that when the Colorado Avalanche make a major trade and everything is put into the basket, Joe Sakic makes the final call. Chris McFarland makes the recommendation, and Joe Sakic makes the final call with all the information at his fingertips. Now, that may be fading a little bit, but that's the way, actually, Chris had told me that when they were making deals, it would always go to Joe. Now that Chris has taken over as GM, I suspect, knowing Chris McFarland the way I do, he has all the prep and he leans heavily on Joe still to make that cooperative decision, which is great, I think, which is going back to the whole president GM type of structure, mm-hmm. which I think can be really successful if you have the right two people.
But in the end, doesn't it come down to exactly what you just said, people? Doesn't it come down to the subject? I mean, Gary designed this salary cap system to be equal for all the teams, and then it's going to be the what's between the ears of guys who can put teams together to be the difference maker. What isn't it?
Well, plus the other intangibles such as tax-free states and, you know, there's a difference between a team that is breaking even in cash flow or losing money and the difference between a team that's making $50 million a year. And let's not kid ourselves. There's a ton of teams in the NHL that are struggling to have positive cash flow. In this day and age, still a lot of teams that are struggling to be positive cash flow-wise. And there's a few teams that are very, very successful.
Toronto
here's the situation that is the number one thing in what Shanny and I and you were talking about is the number one guy, the president of hockey ops or the president of the organization, he's got to know whether he should be sticking his nose in the hockey department. Keith Pelley, I suspect, was sticking his nose in the hockey department down the stretch because it's natural. When you're the boss and things are going south, you stick your nose in things, even if you're qualified or not. Mm. And if you're going to have that, you best have a guy as president of hockey ops that is very qualified to stick his nose in and have good like a Joe Sakic, Chris McFarland combination, for example. I don't know who Jimmy Neal reports to, you know, or
the
who
owner.
Steve or who Steve Yzerman. They report to the owners. So that's a little different. But you still have a cooperative group below Stevie Y and below Jimmy Neal that are very influential in Jim Neal's decisions or Stevie Y's decisions.
Keith Pelley talked a lot about structure yesterday and whether they had the president and the GM or just a GM. They have six assistant general managers. So where, who decides?
I would fire four. I would fire four of those to start with. That would be a good start to setting up your structure properly. Fire four of the six assistant GMs.
But who decides the structure?
But just a minute. That's not fair. I said that. When you have six assistant GMs, you know what that is in a lot of organizations? That's giving people a title versus giving them a raise. So your director of amateur becomes an assistant GM. Your director of pro becomes an assistant GM. Your director of analytics becomes an assistant GM. Your capologist becomes an assistant GM. So instead of giving them the raises they probably deserve, you give them a nice title.
Does that mean they're in the pension?
I guess I got to be careful.
Are they in the pension plan then or something?
Well, they're not in the league pension plan. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. Assistant GMs, assistant GMs weren't when I was there. I know that. By the way, my check just came in today. Thank you, NHL.
I don't want to lose track of my original question there, but of the six general managers that do exist, are any of them a candidate for the GM job in Toronto?
No, they're in training.
Okay.
I think one of them is in the running for another job with another organization.
So who decides the structure then that they're gonna work under? That's the part that's kind of in limbo.
If I was Keith, I'd be more worried about the structure on the ice.
No, hold on. I disagree. Because you've already said that Keith's been meddling in the hockey side. You don't want Keith. I don't think you want Keith meddling in the hockey side, do you?
No, you definitely
okay,
don't.
So he should not be worrying about.
But are we really naive enough to believe that any boss in the NHL is not going to meddle when things go south? My owner meddled. My owner's accountant meddled. My owner's son meddled. I mean, do you think you don't have meddling? I don't care what the structure is. The bosses meddle when things go south.
But you have to be able to manage that.
You have to be able to manage that. That's what you have to be able to manage, for sure. And the only way to manage it is to win.
In Toronto, do you need a president of hockey operations and a general manager in that market?
I think you do if you have two guys that are on the same page. And I think it's really, really critical. Really critical. I mean, I'm looking at names. They've got names out there, the guys that haven't been in the league 10, 12 years that are on the list. That sort of catches me off
guard. Guys that have worked in the league, though, maybe not been a general manager or a president, but guys have worked in the league, right?
No, haven't worked in the league in 10 and 12 years. No, that's not true. Dean Lombardi, I saw his name. He's an advisor in Philadelphia. Mike Gillis, I think he's teaching a course at University of Victoria. So, I mean, these are guys that are good. Dean Lombardi, you could never question what he accomplished as a general manager. Mike Gillis did a good job in Vancouver, went to the Stanley Cup Finals. Solid hockey people, but have been out of the league for 10, well, Mike has 10 or 12 years, but they're good people. I mean, there's all kinds of good people. I look at Dale Talon's out there. Dale Talon thought he had the Vancouver GM job a few years ago. I talked to him 2 years ago. He had the job, but for some reason it fell apart. There's good people out there that have been around a lot longer. There's good, bright, young people out there that are around. They're talking about guys in the Florida Panthers organization, you know, bright, young people. That's going to be the challenge. Which way do they go here for the GM and which way do they go for the president? If you hire an inexperienced GM, then you'll want a very experienced president of hockey ops.
So you're advocating for two people.
I would definitely have two people. definitely.
And what about what are you doing with the coach?
And I think Chris, I think Keith Pelley should be advocating for that too, if he wants to have the structure that he talked about yesterday, that he doesn't want to be the guy. And Keith also shouldn't be the guy talking to other people in the hockey world about what's wrong with his team if he gets the right structure.
What about the coach?
Well, I think it should be up to the new GM to bring in who he wants to bring in. It's plain and simple. If the new GM comes in, let's say it's Doug Armstrong, who's the number one name that seems to be out there, although he's still under contract. You know, he fired Craig Berube, but I suspect he likes Craig Berube a lot. You know, if it's, you know, I mean, I think the new GM should have 100% say in who they hire as a coach.
Where's your confidence level if you're a Toronto Maple Leaf fan after this week in changing out the general manager?
I'm really, really concerned that when I listened yesterday that they want to do a retool, and I look at their assets, and I see like limited to no draft picks, limited draft picks, limited prospects. The fact that their number one player in Austin Matthews is coming off an unbelievably subpar season for whatever reason, nobody knows. Is it injury related? What are the injuries? How serious are the injuries? Is he ever going to, he's been 10 years in the league. Is he going to come back to the 60 goal scorer that he was? Is Nylander going to come back? Tavares is on the 17th hole, although he's had a great year. I look and they need a top three defense. They need a number one defenseman, number two defenseman, a number three defenseman. Their goaltenders are good goaltenders, but injury prone. I'm really nervous about the asset situation with the Toronto Maple Leafs and where it goes and how long it's going to take to bring it back. Now we saw Boston retool really quick. You know, led by McAvoy, led by Swayman, led by Pasternak, and some, you know, added some nice pieces. And, you know, Sweeney did. So I'd be nervous. I think they've got a big job ahead of them.
But actually, the Bruin one is a fair comparison. But is it really a bad influence on what they need to do in Toronto? Because you look at Boston and you say, well, Boston can look what Boston did and turned it around so quickly. Well, but Boston had a lot more assets, Doug, than Toronto.
Not even close. I mean, because you look at what they had to start. Pasternak is a superstar in the league. McAvoy is a number one defenseman, number one and a half maybe, but he's a really top. Zadorov on the back end is
Hampus, you know, Lindholm.
And Hampus, they're not even close.
Right.
But what I'm saying, they were projected to be by a lot of hockey people a non-playoff team this year, and right now they're battling for the, you know, one of the best team, you know, they're battling hard. So I just think it's a, you know, the core group in Toronto have never proven that. What have they won, one playoff round in 10 years?
Something like that.
A couple of playoff rounds in 10 years. So,
yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of real question marks. Even amongst their superstars, there's question marks. So to me, that makes for a demanding rebuild. And that's why.
Well, that's better. Hold on. Let's take a break because I want to pick at that a little bit. You're watching on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. So we appreciate it. It's 100% Hockey with Lard and Shannon. I can't believe I just cut off Doug McLean. I'm going to pay for that. Stay with us.
Car shopping should be exciting, not exhausting. That's where Car Gurus comes in. They have advanced search tools, unbiased deal ratings, and price history, so you know a great deal when you see one. It's no wonder that Car Gurus is the number one rated car shopping app in Canada. When you're car shopping on your phone, it shouldn't be a maze. You need to see all the information. With the Car Gurus app, you can. Powerful search tools that you see deal ratings, price history, and dealer reviews on listings all in one place. And you can turn on real-time price drop alerts so you never miss a great deal. Car Gurus connects you with trusted dealerships when you're ready, ensuring a transparent, hassle-free buying process. Buy your next car today at cargurus.ca. Make sure your deal is the best deal. That's CARGURUS.ca. Cargurus.ca.
You said rebuild.
Don't ever cut me off again so selfishly. And it just, it's the, you know, it's one of the low, well, oh. I get cut off a lot here in the house, so I'm fine with it. I'm used to it.
Jill taught me her ways. She put on a seminar last summer.
This is the I haven't spoken like for 28 minutes. It's unbelievable.
But you can't have a rebuild when you have.
I didn't know you're the producer, aren't you?
I'm a little bit of everything around here, okay, mister?
You can't have a rebuild with Austin Matthews, William Nylander, and John Tavares on your roster. You can't. No, that doesn't qualify.
No, that's, I mean, look, there are three, you know, excellent, one franchise player, one impact player, and a guy that's been a superstar in the league in the past. That's really saying a lot. But when you look at the surrounding cast, that's where you get nervous. And look at free agency, who's available in free agency, you know. I talked to a guy yesterday about the team, and he said, oh, Doug, I think it's fixable. I think you keep 9 to 10 players from this year's team, and you add, you know, a number of free agents. And you make a few, you know, trade here, trade there. And, you know, you've got a competitive team in that division.
Stanley Cup winning team?
No, but you've got a competitive team, you know, and who knows? So, you know, it's all over the map. I mean, obviously, Keith and his, whoever is influencing Keith, believes that's the direction to go. To retool and how do you not say you're going to retool in Toronto? How do you say they just are coming out of a 10-year where they rebuilt? They mm-hmm. rebuilt 10 years ago mm-hmm. and were very successful.
Did not get past the second round.
9 years in a row in the playoffs.
Okay, yeah,
and one of the top teams in the league. You know, in an 82-game season, but didn't get there. You know. Didn't get there. And what's hard to believe is they're coming off a year ago to almost the day where they almost knocked the Florida Panthers out. You know, what was it, game six, game seven?
Seven.
Should have. They blew it in game six.
Actually blew it. They were so bad.
They blew it in
but they
six,
were so
and
bad
seven.
In game five and game seven. They were right. So bad.
So bad.
I think if you dig deep into those numbers in that series, Florida was by far the better team.
Yeah, 100%. But how can you stand up at a conference yesterday and say, we have to be data-driven when they have one of their six assistant GMs is in charge of analytics, and the last time I looked, they had 12 people in their analytics department. How could they not? Are you telling me that all this analytical information was coming to Tree Living and Tree Living was ignoring it? Is that what yesterday said? Because you can't say they're not a data-reliant team. They have been for 10 years. That's what Shanahan started when he brought Kyle in. Was to make it a data-driven organization.
Or did he mean it was going to be a data motivated decision or influenced decision on the new general manager or president?
Oh, you mean whether he wants to use analytics?
Yeah.
There's not a GM in the NHL today. There's not one in the league that doesn't look at mm-hmm. analytics.
Yeah, and I think Tree's used it too. Yeah, yeah.
And it weighs heavily on their decisions. We're not talking about the Major League Baseball prior to Billy Bean. This is the new NHL which has seen analytics, you know, as a head of analytics told me 3 years ago when I was writing Draft Day, if the scouts don't buy into analytics, they're going to be washed out to sea. The guy that told me that was one of the, they had the worst team in the NHL at the time. And I think he's been washed out to sea, and a new analytics head is there now. But so, anyway, you know, I think it's the new game. And I think to say that would caught me off guard. It really did. That there's nobody, nobody's interviewing for that job unless they're, nobody's interviewing for an NHL GM's job unless they're influenced by analytics, in my opinion, unless I'm out in left field.
Okay, so let's say that they have a big analytics department. We know they do. Let's suggest that Brad Treliving measured all that information, but that doesn't mean the coach uses it. And how much of analytics should coaches use?
Well, you know, analytics can be an important thing because you get coaches get a feel for their team, and you know, you can use analytics on who plays best together, what twosome plays best together, what line plays best together, how they match up with the opposition lines. Those numbers are all available, you know? And I would, you know, when you're game planning, you know, you've got to consider that information when it's showing Matthews cannot play head-to-head against the Tkachuk line. Because this is what the numbers tell us. They're being totally dominated. Now, yeah. Home, on the road, you know, you've got it. So all that information is at their fingertips. I would certainly hope a coach is using it. You know, if he's not using it, he's an idiot when it's there and it's in black and white.
Go ahead, Darren.
I was just going to say, I was going to go in a different direction. So you want to pull on that a little bit?
Well, what we haven't talked about is timing of this. Brad went in last week and said, I'm dead man walking. You're talking to everybody around me. Either, you know, let me do the job or fire me now. So are you surprised about the timing? Does the timing even, is it even a factor right now, Doug?
Timing is a bit of a factor because, you know, they want to have somebody in place by the combine and by, you know, they don't need the president in place by the combine, but it certainly would be helpful to have the GM.
Well, hold on. You're not going to have a president. You're not going to have a president without it. You're not going to let the president come in after the general manager, are you?
No. You're going to hire the president first. Okay. And then I would hope the president would be the guy hire the GM.
Okay, but everybody would say, well, what a strange thing happened Monday with, you know, the release and the game. Really, get it out of the way. Get this thing started, right? I mean, who cares?
Get it started and hire the president of hockey operations and let the president of hockey operations hire the general manager, and the general manager hires a new coach or stays with Craig. That's how it should flow. That's structure. That's proper structure and alignment and pillars. We were talking alignment, pillars, and structure.
Are those are those chapters in your book? Are those?
You know what? The new book is coming out in October, first week of October, and that would be in it. That would definitely be in the new book, definitely. And the manuscript is already into Simon & Schuster. So based on Keith's media press conference, I can't change any of the chapters. They're already done.
The only corporate speak I haven't heard is Silos. I'm waiting for Silos to come out.
Doug said Silos earlier, I think.
Oh, did he?
No, I didn't. No, I said pillars and alignment.
Oh, pillars. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Did yesterday change your opinion on who might get the general manager's job in Toronto, what you heard from Keith?
Didn't give me any insight into who would get the job.
Did it widen the net then?
It didn't really, No, I mean, I think they're going to, you know, they've talked about it. Should they have a search company do the interview process? That's a question that they've got to, you know, decide on what they're going to do. But look, it's why, like, Keith's going to have a lot of people contact him and a lot of friends of people contact him.
Yep.
You know, and get their names in there. That's, you know, Keith's got people he talks to, I suspect. I'm sure he does. They're going to give him names. You know, it's pretty, you know, it's, do you want to go young? Do you want to go old? Do you want to go experienced? Do you want to go, you know, I think when you're looking at the Toronto Maple Leafs, you're going to look at experience as a real factor. And, young up-and-comers, well, do they need more young and up-and-comers? They got 6 assistant GMs. I suspect yeah. most of them are young up-and-comers. You know what I mean? They've got to be good, solid people. So
what? You know, why?
Well, you know, I've seen some of the names, and I would say they're, you know, they're fairly well-respected people. So
yeah, no, I don't disagree. I'm just saying, just, you know, the thing with this organization is that it makes more money than any other team in the league. And so, and the only way to combat a salary cap is to spend money around the cap. And so that's what they have done for more than a decade, is spend money around the cap.
Yeah.
So
I would add in there maybe waste money.
Well, no, but you can put that number there, that, you know, they solve the problem, spend some money. So if Keith Pelley was on the beach in Delray and you're sitting there in your chair and you got the cigar going and a glass of wine, and Keith sat beside you in the next chair and you had to give him one piece of advice, what would it be?
Keith should have done that a year ago, would have been my advice to him.
That's the best advice to that question I've ever heard.
You know what? It's so funny. I shouldn't probably tell this story, but I am. I was sitting in my cottage in PEI, I don't know, number of years ago, and I got a call from Keith Pelley to fly to Toronto to meet with him and Nadir Mohammed about issues they were having, and asked me for my advice on it. And I was in there with them for probably 3 hours, and walked out of there, went and had a beer to relax, and then flew home and never heard from him since.
So he's not going to be sitting in the chair beside you on the beach.
But he did live, but he did listen to my advice. I know that. So anyway, no, it's Keith's an experienced business sports executive. He didn't hire Brad Treliving. That was a problem right from the very start. Obviously we know Shanahan did. So now he's got his opportunity, which is what his expertise is putting executives in position. Like he said, I don't want to be a scout. I don't want to be a coach. I don't want to be a left winger. I want to be the executive that puts people in position. And that's what he should do.
And that's what you'd tell him.
That's what I would tell him. He's got to find the best president of hockey ops he can find and let that person do the structure, start this. That's where the structure's really, the structure starts with Keith, but it quickly flows to the next position. And that to me is, as Keith alluded to yesterday, the most important decision that he may make in his career.
I think the best example of president of hockey operations and general manager is one that I see every day in how George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon work together.
One, I talk to George fairly regularly, okay? And I would agree with that 100%. 100%. That George, who is an experienced GM and who now is part of he's a huge part of the team, but he has set the structure up, in my opinion, as well as anything. And George, there's a quote in my book, in my new book coming out, if there's one thing I feel that I'm capable of doing, if there's one thing that I think I'm good at, is putting a hockey operations staff together. And there's no denying. And I said, no, George, not if you're good at something. You are very good at that. And he did.
You know, George has been a regular with us on this show. And we talk a lot when we talk with George about culture.
Yeah.
Where does culture fit in with the Toronto Maple Leafs? How do you build culture?
You build culture. The first way you build culture, in my opinion, is you get good players. You get good players, and then those good players care about the organization, care about their teammates, care about the organization, care about the city, care about the fans. But it starts with getting good players, and it transcends from that to good people. The good players are good people. And then culture looks after itself if you have that type of leadership in your dressing room. If you don't have leadership with your good players, you got some problems.
I had a conversation with a former player.
Tell me what Pietrangelo did for the Golden, what he did for the St. Louis Blues, and what he did for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you, but you got to get there. And I had a conversation with a former player, one of our broadcaster friends, yesterday, and they just flat out asked me, why hasn't it worked in Toronto? And he's like going back to the fact that they haven't won a cup since 1967, and through different ownership structures and general managers and coaches. And I didn't have an answer for him. Like, why do they have so much trouble? They can't even get to a final, Doug. What's holding that franchise back?
That's a great question, because I think that I would say that are their best players the type of players you can build a franchise around? Are they those type of players? Look, I always go back to Steve Yzerman, because I was with Stevie for 5 years in Detroit when he was having major problems being the leader of the team. Major problems being he was the leader. He was the best player. He was a 50-goal scorer. He was, without a doubt, the best player who cared more than anybody about the team and cared more about the franchise. He cared. But he just couldn't get it done because he didn't have a good enough supporting cast. And then Brian Murray and then Scotty Bowman brought in the supporting cast. It was the emergence of Lidstrom. It was the emergence of Konstantinov. It was Kozlov coming over. It was Darren McCarty, Chris Draper, all these guys, Lapointe, all these guys maturing around Stevie. And all of a sudden, the supporting cast was good enough. And Stevie Yzerman became one of the greatest captains in the history of the NHL. And Stevie was a huge part of that, being the greatest captain. But it was also the supporting cast around him and the type of players that were brought in around him.
What about distractions in Toronto? You know, when Darren asks, why doesn't it work?
I call BS to that 100%. How come the Yankees win? Is there no distractions there?
Well, the Yankees haven't won in a while.
Well,
the Dodgers.
They've won a fair share. The Dodgers, I mean, they've all.
But
the Blue Jays went to the finals.
Baseball's a different sport. Baseball is an individual sport played by a team.
But there's still distractions.
I know, but you know, hockey's the ultimate team sport. You can have the greatest player in the game, and he's only going to play 22 minutes. What happens the other 38?
Yeah, the same distractions are for the hockey guys as the baseball guys, and the baseball guys handle it.
I think
the structure of the way the game is played is how they handle it.
I think, and I've really looked at this closely. in my book, actually. And you guys, I know you guys can't wait for it to come out. Mm-hmm. But I looked totally inside how the last four Stanley Cup winners have been built. Every move they made from the Vegas Golden Knights to Colorado to Tampa to Florida, how those teams were built. And it is really amazing to look at how they're built. And you look at the character of the people that came in. You look at the leadership the teams had, leadership that was brought in. It, team construction is the number one job of a general manager. The biggest job for the general manager is not picking the coach. It's team construction. And that's the number one focus. Talk to Kelly McCrimmon. What's his number one focus every day of the week? Team construction. Mm-hmm. And how are we constructed? And are we constructed in the right way to win?
A couple of distractions in Vegas, and they've been good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just throwing it out there, John.
What
distractions? Toronto's the only place in the world that's distracted. According to John.
By the way, no, because your pal Jimmy Rutherford's got the same problem.
I couldn't become a star at Sportsnet because I was too damn distracted by Toronto. No,
you couldn't become a star.
Because I didn't have the talent.
No, you had talent.
No, you know, I think there's just too many nights in Yorkville. That was the problem.
Well, hey, I moved down to Bloor and King for the last 3 years.
And, were you running Rogers when you met with Pelly? Was he at Rogers?
Yes. Yeah.
He was the boss.
So you and Nadir and Keith had a conversation about Rogers.
At Rogers in Nadir's office for about 3 hours.
About hockey. It was about hockey, though, right?
Oh no, it was about the Leafs.
Yeah,
okay. It was about the Leafs.
Because Nadir was on the board at the time. Right?
Sportsnet never came up. I don't think Nadir even knew I worked there.
Nadir was a good man.
He was a great, and you know what? I used to meet him on flights after that, on the way to West Palm, because he used to come down to West Palm a lot. So I used to run into him on the plane, flights after that. Anyway,
I was going to say, you couldn't have got us a raise or something. You couldn't have let us in on that.
I only brought up one name for a raise.
Yeah. J. Doug McClain. Hey, so are you trading Matthews if you're the general manager?
Very, very interesting question. And I think you say, okay, this is going to be an unbelievable, challenging 2 years till he makes his mind up if he's going to re-up and how quick can you get him on a deal. Number two, I would want to know everything about if the new guy comes in there, the number one question he should ask before he asks about the coach is what's Matthew's health situation? Mm-hmm. Why has this guy been injured? Why has he not played the way he's capable of playing? He has sporadically the way he played a couple of years ago. And can he bounce back to what he was 2 years ago or 3 years ago? He's had 10 years in the league. He's had no success at playoff. Great success individually. Great success. No success from a team perspective. Is he capable of bouncing back and becoming the player he was? And what's been wrong with him? That's the number one question I'd be asking about as the president of hockey ops or the GM. What is going on with Austin Matthews?
But if you're that guy... And you say, well, gosh, we don't have very many draft picks.
The second question is, what is going on with Nylander? And then you make the decisions if you're going to move forward with them or you're going to trade them.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if you don't have prospects and you don't have draft picks, you can easily put a few in the bank by trading some guys.
Well, that's going to be the biggest question that they're going to be faced with. What do we do? Especially Austin, whose term is almost up, you know, is coming to a close here. I mean, with what's he got? 2 years left.
Yeah.
He's got 1 year left and then it's a disaster.
So two-parter. And the first one is a yes or no. Do you think Toronto's a playoff team next year?
Today I would say that that they're not.
Okay.
But I think if they retool, they can be.
Yeah.
Keith what mentioned about- yesterday, the problem they've got is there's five teams at least in their conference, five at least.
Yeah, Keith pointed that out.
That have done what they probably should be doing, and that is rebuilding. And there's five of the teams that are rebuilding and are close to the end of their rebuild and now have to show up.
But hold on. I'll let you do your second part here. You brought up a thing. 9 years of pain in Detroit. 14 years of pain in Buffalo. 5 years of pain in Ottawa. 5 years of pain in Montreal. Will anybody tolerate that amount of time of pain in Toronto?
No.
Okay. No. There you go.
So what's to stop Austin Matthews from saying, if it's going to be a retool and we're going to be in the middle trying to get back in, why wouldn't he go to them and go, let's speed this up and maybe I'll make the decision to go this summer.
That's why it's going to be a retool. It's going to be a retool. It's not going to be a rebuild. If a guy walks into Keith Pelley's office at interviewing for the GM job and said, I want to strip it down and we're going to rebuild here, you know, and that will be the shortest interview in the history of GM interviews.
But do you think Austin Matthews would go in there and go, let's make the decision now. I'd like to go somewhere else.
I would be surprised if Austin Matthews would say that, but his agent might.
Isn't that the same thing?
Pretty well. I mean, I don't know if Connor did, if McDavid did in Edmonton, but I suspect it got word through, got through somewhere.
Well, no, but what Connor did was gave them a timeline. That's what Connor did. Connor gave them a timeline.
Well, they have a timeline right now with Matthews, too. Same timeline.
That's right. That's right.
2 years. You know? Actually, Connor gave them one more year, didn't he? Or no, Connor's got, Connor gave them one more year than Austin is giving them right now unless they can re-sign him.
Yeah. I think they're up at the same time, though.
They are now, yeah.
Yeah, both.
What are you doing today?
Here's the other thing that if you're interviewing with Keith Pelley that I would probably use to get the job. Keith, here's the deal. We look at thoroughly into Austin Matthews, where he is. And if, you know, make that decision. But in 2 years' time, you have 20% of the cap available and you hand Connor McDavid $25 million a year to come to Toronto. Mm-hmm. He's going to be finished in Edmonton. He's going to be sitting there saying, where am I going to go? And what better challenge for Connor McDavid than to win a Stanley Cup in Toronto, his hometown? And you plunk down 20% of the cap, which would be what that at that point, Shanny? What's 20% of 135 million?
More than 25.
And you hand that to him and you bring him to Toronto. That's
what you would do?
That's rebuilding right there. That's your rebuild, okay?
What if Keith Pelley came to you and said, do you want to be hockey operations president?
You know what? I think that Jill asked me that this morning. She said, why don't you apply? And I said, because, I've been out.
Apply?
Yeah. Why don't you apply? And she said, you know what she said? I said, honey, you're just trying to get rid of me.
Would your personal trainer travel to Toronto with you?
I fired him.
Yeah. You fired the personal trainer?
Yeah. I froze my account at LA Fitness because I got back spasms so bad from doing the bench press that I can hardly walk.
Well, there goes our sponsorship with LA Fitness.
Just hold on.
So Jill brought up you applying? That is outstanding.
You know,
the royal wedding this summer, Kenzie's getting married. He's got to put some cash in the bank to be able
to
wedding. This is the remnants of my personal trainer. my new back brace. My back brace. I have to wear golfing.
Oh my God. How's the golf game?
I handicap right now from the seniors tees. I just moved to a 13.
Seniors tees?
from the senior tees.
Yeah, but that means you're hitting 7-iron putter. That's all you're
doing.
That means
I'm hit. That means I'm playing 5,500 yards.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I am. You know. So anyway, though, that was we pretty well dissected the Leafs.
Who gets the Nashville job then? Prongs?
I don't know who's going to get it. I see Rick Peverly was re-signed by Dallas, so they want to lock him up. So that
Jimmy got the extension, so Rich Peverly needs to stick around. He and now Rich Peverly and Joe McDaniel, they're the keys to Jimmy Neal being successful.
Yeah, well, Jimmy's a solid guy too.
Yeah,
Jimmy Neal. So and I hear Vancouver may open. Patrick Alvin may he's. Somebody I just read this morning, and whether you can believe it or not, he's telling people he doesn't think he'll be around. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know. There's who knows how many jobs are going to be. It'll be interesting to see. It always is, you know. Not many GMs typically don't get fired a lot. You know, they usually survive for, you know, extended periods of time. So it's an unusual thing, to be quite honest.
Don't you have your former GM club down there in Delray?
Yeah, I've got it's not, you can't call it a club because I have a coffee with Dale Talon and Ron Hextall, and Rimmer sticks his nose in there and thinks he's the president of the hockey the most department. He thinks he sticks his nose in it, and that takes away from the former GM society because he sticks his nose into the conversation.
I'm shocked that Jeff would do that.
I have to drive out if I want to have a coffee with Jeff. I have to drive out to his house, and because he's scared to bring his new Porsche downtown Delray in case he gets it scratched, so I have to drive out all the way to Atlantic Avenue where Jeff lives. As soon as you see an alligator stick his head out of the Everglades, you take a right, and that's where Jeff lives, as far away from the ocean as you can possibly
He tells me he lives on the beach.
Yeah. He tells everybody he lives in Delray. I said, no, you live in Boynton Beach. There's a big difference, Jeff. Boynton Beach is not Delray Beach.
Well, it's nice to see he's part of the Porsche Club with us.
Oh, please.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of us can't afford Porsches.
Yeah, anyway.
Doug loves my
Porsche.
They're overrated. You love my Porsche, don't you, Doug?
I don't like any of your cars. I really don't.
I still remember when Doug bought the one and had it in the garage in Columbus and took a picture of it and sent it to all of us. It was unbelievable. Yes. You sent the picture to everyone you knew that you had bought a Porsche.
I wanted you to know that I'd made the big time. Actually, I bought my first Porsche for Jill for our 22nd wedding anniversary. I gave her a red Porsche.
Yeah, that's the one you took the picture of.
And with the two kids, she couldn't use it, so she gave it to me, and I traded in on a 911.
See, that is what you should tell Keith Pelley. That kind of cap management and asset management, trading up. Gets you the job.
Exactly. That's using the data properly. The kids don't fit in.
Somebody asked me yesterday. It's a fun time to watch.
Is it data or data? I say data.
I say data.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was an American Canadian thing or what.
I think both are correct.
I liked when everybody used to say analytics, but now it's data, you know, data, da-da, I don't know.
We got to go.
Have a good day. What are you doing today?
We've been on a long time.
Yeah, it's like, seriously.
Well, at least we don't cut you off like they do on Nick's show.
Cut me off. I wish they'd cut me off. I just got a note. We're doing a show on Good Friday. Like, do they not know that's Christ's weekend? Like, what the hell are they doing a show on Good Friday? You know?
You make it sound like it's a sale at Best Buy.
Anyway.
Hi, everybody. Come down for Christ's weekend here. What is that?
I've never heard the phrase, it's Christ's weekend.
Well,
you know what's going to happen?
It is, but I've never heard that phrase.
Mom used to tell me Mom used to tell me that when she wouldn't let me go to hockey on Good Friday.
We got to go before we get more in trouble.
Fran, look what you gave us. Fran, we continue. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it, buddy.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, back with more 100%
hockey. We sold a lot of books today. I know that. We sold a lot of books. We did.
Holy pre-orders are big.
With the NHL app, you can listen to every NHL game right from your phone. And with home and away broadcast feeds, you choose your way to listen. And he scores! Whether you're at work, at the gym, or stuck in traffic, the NHL app puts you right in the action all season long. Every team, every game, everywhere you go. Download the NHL app and never miss a moment.
I don't want anything to do with his talking about what's coming up in a couple of weeks.
You mean Easter?
I don't want anything to do with it.
Easter's this weekend.
I don't want anything to do with it. Well, if anybody's sending their complaints, I don't want anything to do with it.
Well, I'm going to send you a note on Friday morning.
I know you will.
Okay. So,
but anyway, that's between us.
Yeah, that's right. So if you had to give Keith Pelley one piece of advice, it would be what?
Don't have a press conference.
See, in that, in so many ways, and if Keith Pelley, and I do know Keith a little bit, if Keith phoned up and said, "Hey, John, can we have a coffee?" What piece of advice would you give me? I never want to hear from Keith. I don't. It's not his
Keith
job.
Keith does phone you. He doesn't phone me anymore.
No. Here.
So why didn't you give him that advice? You talked to him.
He hasn't asked me, should I do a press conference? He didn't ask. I want to hear.
When was the last time you needed to be asked to offer your opinion?
What time is it? I think Keith can do a really good job as president and chief executive officer of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. But I don't want to hear him talking about hockey teams. I don't want to hear him talking about draft picks. I don't want to hear him talking about other teams in the league. That's not part of the job description.
It sets him up for a question. He was asked about whether he was spiking trades yesterday.
So here's he's the 50,000 foot guy. He's the 50,000 foot guy. And this is where you say, whoa, that 50,000 feet, that's high.
That's Red Bull.
Jets don't play. Jets don't fly at 50,000 feet. So he's the 50,000 foot guy. I should still remember when I worked at MLSE, Richard Petty, who I learned a ton from, one of the great men that in business and really did a tremendous job of creating a positive culture at MLSE. Richard was asked in a scrum one day about business and this and that and season tickets and this and that. And somebody then said, "What do you think of the Raptors point guard?" And Richard went off on a tangent about the Raptors point guard. And at the end of the scrum, he turned and said, "So how'd I do?" I said, "You were great until you started talking about sports." I mean, those guys get themselves in trouble when they talk about sports. I don't want to hear them talk about sports. I want to hear them talk about the business. And in fact, I don't want to hear them at all in that public setting. I want to hear the guy who's running the hockey operation. I mean, I wanted to hear more from Brendan when he ran the hockey op. I did. I wanted to hear. I mean, it was more difficult to get an interview with Brendan than it was to get an interview with the Prime Minister's office. So that's where the buck should stop publicly. And I hope in my heart of hearts that Tuesday's press conference with Keith Pelley is the last one. Now, there won't be a last one because he has to announce the new president of hockey ops.
Why does he have to announce that? Why can't the PR department introduce the new president of hockey ops or the general manager and have them do the interview? Why does the president of the organization have to be up there?
I would be fully supportive of that, too. I would be, or let Edward Rogers introduce the president of hockey operations. But I don't, I like Keith. I'm actually a fan, but I don't want to hear from him anymore. I don't think he's helping the cause, if there is such a thing in Toronto. I don't.
He tried to hire me twice and I turned him down, or it didn't work out. Yeah. Well, I think he still holds that against me. That's why he made me dye my white streak out of my hair.
Well, he almost hired me to run all of their hockey.
Really?
Yep.
Are you trying to one-up me right now?
No.
I think that's what you just did.
No, and by the way, he liked my gray hair. So
my brother, Derek.
Yeah, is he ripping me again?
Nope, he went into Winnipeg. My dad's having a procedure today, so he drove my pops into Winnipeg. Sent me a picture yesterday. You know what it was?
Oh, the tree.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Sent me a tree. He said, this is in tribute to 100% hockey. Sent me a picture of the tree.
You know what? We
the
should
halfway be, tree.
We need to get the Manitoba Tourist Bureau to really help support the podcast, because we have done more for that tree than anybody else I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm on radio in Winnipeg all the time. I never talk about the tree on Winnipeg radio.
Why do you bring it up? That'll make you even more appreciated by the folks of Manitoba. Just go, hey, how's the halfway tree doing on the way to Brandon? Anybody go out and water it?
Kelly Moore and Greg Mackling would say, what are you talking about?
Oh, Moore will know.
Well, I know they know about those things, but they're going to think that I'm on something.
That was fun today. Enjoy the stretch drive. It's chaos in the East.
More fun for us than being a fan of the Maple Leafs, that's for sure.
Are they used to it by now?
What are you talking about? They just finished 9 years of this. They just finished 9 years of the last rebuild.
And didn't get past the first round.
That once.
Didn't get past the second round. I apologize. The person that I talked to, broadcaster, former player, they're younger than us, but not that young, but younger than us, had no idea that it had been since there were six teams in the league that Toronto last won a cup or got to a final. They were blown away by
that's unbelievable. That. Unbelievable. How do you not know that? Seriously.
Well, not everybody is up to date on the Toronto Maple. They knew it had been a while, but had no idea that it had been since there were six teams in the league. When you phrase it that way, the last time the Leafs were in the Cup, there were six teams in the league.
Well, let's put this in perspective for non-hockey fans. That was Canada's centennial year. We're in year 100 and what is it? 157 now. Oh gosh. Anyway.
Oh. What do you call 200 years? Bicentennial?
Yeah.
So the countdown's on. I'm sorry. I'm going to get hate mail for that.
I tell you what, the Leaf fans are not happy right now.
I feel for them.
Yeah, because, I mean, and of course the impatience in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
8 years and we haven't done a darn thing, right? Yeah. Other than win the cup.
It's year nine and what's going on?
That's right.
We aren't going to win this year. Well, they're trying to win this year. We'll see what happens. They'll try to make it two wins in a row under John Tortorella by the next time we talk on 100% Hockey. Send those reactions in, those thumbs up, and let us know what you thought about the Toronto Maple Leafs in our discussion today on the podcast, whether it's through YouTube or wherever you listen to the podcast. It's John Shannon and Darren Millard on 100% Hockey.